Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And welcome to this wonderful place, this sanctuary that has meant so much to us over the years as we have worshiped the Lord and offered our prayers, brought our offerings, heard the word of God, and gone forth from this place to serve the Lord in the world. So we're grateful for the opportunity to be together again and to worship, to lift up our praise. We again welcome Sue McLean, who is filling in today at the piano. And leading our choir for the day that you'll hear later on. I'd like you to stand for the call to worship that is printed in the bulletin, and stand as you're able. Words that you might recognize. Come to Bethlehem and see. Come, adore on bended knee.
Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
Please open your hymnals to number 278, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Mountains in reply.
Let us pray. Glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. We greet you, Lord, with thankful hearts, grateful for your saving work shown to us through Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, even as an infant. And we praise you that today our songs can rise to you, our worship can rise to you, and you can be pleased that we have come to this place in the name of your Son to offer you our worship and to offer you the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There's a lot of folks here today, and maybe if there's someone here you don't know personally, don't know their name, I hope that you'll get a chance to greet them. So why don't you take a moment and welcome each other to this time of worship. In addition to the announcements that are in the bulletin, there is that insert again, the green one for the Christmas Eve service. Again, that's not for you. That's for you to give away to somebody who doesn't come here, inviting them to share worship with us Christmas Eve. And also note there are cards for our shut-in members that have been provided there in the Welcome Center. So if you would take the time to sign those, and we'll send them on then this week as a greeting from the church congregation to folks who are unable to be with us as our homebound members and nursing home members. I'd like to call on Rob Manna for an announcement from the Pastoral Search Committee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we met again, so that's a good sign that we keep meeting. There are some updates in the visitor and in the bulletin, but just to give you an update of what's been going on in the Pastoral Search Committee, we continue to work through the booklet that's been provided by the American Baptist Association in terms of calling a pastor. So there's a lot of information to work through there, questions to answer. So in our most recent meeting, we went through the external survey responses. So those were those yellow cards that we were attempting to distribute. We got pretty good feedback from the people who came for the Thanksgiving service. And it's kind of interesting to look through the feedback there. And then we've also been going through responses that we got from a smaller survey that went out to the Board of Deacons and the Board of Directors. So we did a smaller survey with just those two boards. And then next, in January, we're going to be putting together some small group meetings. We're going to have a couple of community members meet with small groups representing the congregation to talk about what you're looking for in a pastor. So there'll be more information forthcoming on that in the new year once we figure out the exact details of how we'll be setting that up. So we'll be looking to meet with all of you in a smaller setting to discuss what you're looking for. And that'll be in January and February once we get going in the new year. So I think that's it. And like I said, there are some additional updates in the visitor as well. So don't forget to pick up your visitor, which is in the back. So, thank you.
Al Gaffney. I always do that. I don't know why I think of you guys. Conflate your names. Al Donaghy has an announcement. And he promised me only one joke, so we'll see.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be the joke, I guess. I came up here, I wanted to let everybody know that the giving envelopes for 2016 are in the back. And I see that many of you have already found them without my announcement, so I'm not sure what to say. But I do want to let you know they are available. And I want to point out that there may not be envelopes there for everyone. There are envelopes there for those who, or there aren't envelopes there for those who have met, I'm going to say this backwards, that's the joke, had met this criteria. If you didn't ask for them, they're probably not there. There was a place on the commitment form to check off if you wanted envelopes. If you made a commitment, you get envelopes anyway. Or if you didn't use them last year, I'm still trying to save trees, and I don't want to hand them out to people who aren't going to use them. So if you want them, let me know. Either fill out a form, the commitment form, and check off envelopes, or come up and tell me personally, and I'll make sure that you get envelopes. We don't want to deny them from anybody. I also want to point out that this year, we got bigger envelopes. We found that with the old envelopes, you had to fold your check up to put it in, or you had to fold your bill up. When the tellers are counting, those bills fall all over the place, and they're a pain in the neck to handle. So these envelopes are big enough so that the checks and bills can be folded. Don't have to be folded, excuse me. And I've tested them, and I found out they're bigger envelopes. They will handle bigger bills. $100 bill will fit in there. So so I urge you to test me on that. In any case, they're up there at the end. Oh, one more thing. Make sure you take your own. If you take another packet of envelopes and use it during the year, with somebody else's number on it, you will not get credit for it. We won't know the difference. So pick your own. You have to read the fine print on the top of the box. And if you have any questions, let me know. Thank you.
This will be quick. Tonight we're meeting at 6:30 for Youth Group. We'd love to have you out for that if you're of that age. And we're meeting from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and we will not be meeting next Sunday night. It's Christmas weekend. But then January 3rd, we are going to the Frog Pond. We'll be meeting here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll also go to Faneuil Hall. That's always a lot of fun. I think last year we got rained out, believe it or not. With all that snow, I think we got rained out in January. But anyway, we'd love to have you come out for those things. And if you have any questions, you can see me or one of the other youth leaders. Thanks.
Don't forget Christmas Eve service this week, 6:30.
Genesis 17, 1 through 8, page 22. The Covenant of Circumcision. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. To be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 249, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Concerns to send forth on those green slips, please do that. Or if you'd like to just stand and share, especially a joy, we'd all love to hear that from you. Lily Holland has asked prayer for Henry, my brother-in-law, who passed away last week. Pray for my sister, Jeannie, that she finds comfort in the Lord. We'll certainly do that. Thank you. We, in addition to this, certainly have our ongoing prayer list that's in the bulletin. From week to week, we try to update that. So if you'll put someone in here and it's been a while, please let Diane or myself know, so we can keep these as current as we can. I've seen in this morning's paper a lead article on the front page about the persecuted Christians in other parts of the world, especially in India, as the headline was talking about. And that grieves us to know that our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are suffering even to the point of death because they believe in Jesus like we do. But it shouldn't surprise us, because that's what Jesus said would happen. If the world hates me, know that it will hate you as well. So it shouldn't surprise us that these things happen. And we need to remember that he said, blessed are you when you are persecuted and they speak evil against you, that you're doing the right thing, basically. You are like the prophets of old. So we can be glad for the faithful witness of the church, because if they weren't standing up for Jesus and speaking for Jesus, they wouldn't get noticed. They wouldn't be known. They wouldn't be persecuted. The world doesn't owe us safety and justice and comfort, but we do owe the world a clear and consistent witness to the power and truth that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, whom we must hear and trust and obey. And in these martyrs and brothers and sisters who are just suffering even less than death still are bearing that witness, and we're called to do that too, even where we're not as afflicted, not as persecuted. We need to continue to raise our voices in solidarity with the one church of Jesus Christ around the world, and to remember those, even as we grieve their suffering, to celebrate their victory in Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, you sent angels to make announcements long ago, announcements to Mary that she would bear your son, announcements to Joseph that he was to take her as his wife, announcements to shepherds that a great joy had come, a baby born in Bethlehem. You continue to make your will and your way known to us through your word today. We may not hear angels at our door or breaking open the night sky, but we have your word that has been preserved through the ages, that continues to provide us with truth, with guidance, with comfort, with the word of command and the word of promise, even as we've already heard today, your promise to Abram to change his name to Abraham because he would be the father of many nations and kings would come from him, even Jesus, the King of Kings. We praise you for your purpose that unfolds throughout history, and that in the fullness of time, Christ would be born. At a time when the Roman Empire had made it peaceful around there and the word could get out and the language was common and the truth could spread. We're grateful that over the years that truth has come to us, that we too have been brought from our darkness of sin and separation into the light of Jesus Christ, into the light of his truth and power. And we thank you for those who are faithful in their witness, even when it is costly, even to the point of their death. We're thankful for their example of faithfulness to you, and we pray your comfort for those who grieve, your comfort for those who are suffering, and we pray your power for them to endure till the day when you come again, Lord Jesus, and reward those who have been faithful unto death. Lord, we pray for Lily's brother-in-law, Henry, that he might be received into your eternal kingdom with grace and mercy, and that you would strengthen and comfort Jeannie, and she would find you as a source of comfort. We pray for others on our list of prayer that are in need of healing, whose bodies suffer from sickness or accident. Whether it is chronic or acute, we pray that you will bless them with health and recovery. And you'll comfort those who are grieving and quiet the hearts of those who are anxious. We pray you'll lift the spirits of those who are downtrodden and downcast, who can feel so bad in this time where everybody's joyful and happy and excited and they aren't because of how bad life is. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit, who searches every heart, will minister to them, and that you'll use us, that you'll speak through us, you'll comfort through us, you'll hug through us, you'll call and visit through us, so that none go without the knowledge of your love this season. We pray your blessing and guidance upon the pastoral search committee. They continue to seek the person of your calling for the leadership of this church, and for the upcoming ways that the congregation can be involved in that search. We thank you, Lord, for always being present to guide us, to help us, and to hear our prayers, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to continue our worship with giving of tithes and God's offering. And invite the choir to come up. If this choir keeps growing, we're going to have them out there and you come up here. But it's exciting to have this many folks who could come and enjoy their gift, sharing their gift of music with us. It's a blessing.
Please rise for the doxology.
Praise Him. what you have provided, and with hope for what these gifts will provide in ministry for our church and our world. We offer these to you in the name of Christ, our Savior, your inexpressible gift to us. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 265, The First Noel.
To invite the kids up for a minute together before you go to the junior church. Liam, I saw you out there coming up.
Hey, Isabella.
Matthew, you want to join us? Oh, okay. All right. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Christmas and the kind of things people put on their list of what they want for Christmas. But, you know, it costs a lot of money to buy things. And I saw commercials on TV where some people get a car for Christmas. I can't afford to buy a car for somebody. That's a lot of money. Oh, I missed that part. Well, sometimes we don't have the money to give gifts. And there's a little song in our songbook that asks the question about that. I wanted to read it to you. What can I give him? That's Jesus. What can I give to Jesus? Poor as I am. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yeah, what can I give him? What can I give him? You know what it says? Give him my heart. Because the heart is where we love someone. You give your heart to your parents, that's because you love them. You give your heart to your friends because you love them. That's what that means, give him my heart. So we can always give our love to Jesus. It doesn't cost any money to do that. We can love him whether we're 4 years old, 5 years old, 105 years old. So I hope that this season we can remember to give him our heart. Because he loves us. He's given us his heart. That's why he came, because he loves us. So we want to give him our heart too. Let's pray before we go to Junior Church. Jesus, thank you for loving us, for giving us your heart, for putting us on your heart and being willing to be born as a human being to live and die for us. We pray that Liam and Isabella will continue to learn about your love for them and be able to share their love for you. And we pray they'll continue to learn that in children's church and in their Sunday school classes and in their homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up today.
I'm going to be reading some verses from Luke chapter 1. Kind of a split reading, Luke 1:26-38 and then 46-55, but they begin on page 1588 in the Pew Bible. 1588. Hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And picking up the reading at verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm.
He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Will you pray with me? Lord, help us, we pray, to hear your word today so that it might live in our hearts as well and be a transforming power in our own lives so that our lives might be a transforming power in the world. Amen. I don't have a microphone because I can't use the lavalier with this robe well, so I think I'll just stay here so you can hear me. Do any of you have a favorite Christmas movie? Just show of hands. Favorite Christmas movie or not? Yeah. There are a lot of them that get shown this time of year. I was looking for a biblical Christian movie the other day to show my grandkids, and I couldn't find one in the list that's available. But you can find things like Elf and Santa's Helper and The Toys That Save Christmas. My son-in-law, Alex, who we live with, his favorite Christmas movie is Love Actually. Has anybody seen that one? Okay, some hands. It's this kind of a long story, a movie, because it's got all these people in it who are relating to one another, and some of the stories interconnect. But it all happens around Christmas. And one of the cutest parts of it is this kid who's maybe 11 or 12. He's got a crush on a girl in his class, but she doesn't notice him, he says to his dad. And he's got to think of a way to get her to notice him. So they come up with this scheme that he's got to do something totally out of the ordinary, something that's just new and different for him. So he learns to play the drums so he can accompany the girl who's singing in this Christmas program. So it builds up to this scene, and she's singing, and it works because she's singing "All I Want for Christmas Is You" and points to him at the end of the song. So he's thrilled. Stepped out of his comfort zone, did something brand new, unnatural, new for him, and it worked. You know, God can tell people to do some things that are pretty out of the ordinary as well. I mean, Noah was told to build an ark on dry land. Joshua was told to lead the armies around Jericho 7 days. Sarah was told to she would have a baby, Isaac, in her 90s, and we read today about Elizabeth, who has a baby when she's old. Jonah was sent to preach in a foreign, hostile city. So all that's pretty out of the ordinary. It's unnatural. And the thing is, that's not just biblical characters that happens to, because it can feel pretty unnatural to be told we are to forgive those who sin against us when our natural desire is to just hold it against them. It can feel unnatural to deny ourselves when we want so much for ourselves and we want to be the center of things and we want and want and want. And Jesus says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. It can feel unnatural to tithe when you feel like you can't afford it, or unnatural to love your enemies. But I don't know of anyone in or out of the Bible who was called by God to do anything more unnatural, more out of the ordinary than Mary. This young woman was told she would bear the incarnate Son of God Almighty. Now, when you think about that, that's just amazing. But what's almost just as amazing is her response. Let it be with me according to your word. Okay. Okay. Mary's life will change in ways that she cannot imagine. Her future is going to be nothing like she planned, and she cannot know what will happen because it has never happened before. There is no hotline for virgin mothers. Call 1-800 da-da-da and you'll learn all about it, because it's never happened. All she knows is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. What is that? How does that work? We don't know. Mary doesn't know all that she might want to know. but she does know who is behind it all. And if it is the Lord who is calling her, that's she will answer. If it is the Lord's will for her to do this, she will do it. If it's the Lord's command, she will obey. Behold, the servant of the Lord. Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Okay. Mary is favored, and she is faithful. Favored because God shows favor to her. God's call doesn't mean, oh no, why do I have to bear God's son? It's, I get to bear God's son. Mary sees the blessing, not the burden. She sees the opportunity, not the risk. Here are her words. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Just like our bulletin cover says today, the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy in his name. God was doing something great for Mary, and through Mary, God was doing something great for the world, something great for you, because through Mary, God was giving us all a Savior. Mary has been called by God to the single most challenging responsibility any woman on earth would ever have, and she is thrilled. She is filled with praise for God, whose mercy is for those who fear him. For God, who's acted in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to Abraham long ago. So Mary, you see, knows the spiritual heritage of her people. She understands the sweeping flow of God's mercy that was promised to Abraham long ago, as you heard in that Genesis reading. If it were the ocean, this would be like a mighty Gulf Stream that just sweeps everything along, because God's purpose carries history along in its powerful current until all of God's will for all of creation is achieved. And when God calls Mary, she's willing to step into that divine current and let it take her wherever it will and accept her role in God's glorious purpose to bring salvation to the world. The world needs more people like Mary. The church needs more people like Mary. People who are done with their excuses. I'm too old. I'm not old enough. I can't talk to people. I don't have enough education. I don't have time. That's not my area of expertise. I've never done that before. It's too inconvenient. That's outside my comfort zone. Some other time. God, isn't there someone else you can ask? God does not need to hear any of that from us. No, when God calls you, that's when God wants you, and it is you God wants when it is God who calls you. I don't know if you've had this experience in your home, but we had three kids, and it was hard for me to keep their names straight. And I would call one by the other's name, and even now it's passed to the next generation. I've got a daughter named Catherine and a granddaughter named Kara, and I continually call them each other's name, even when they're not together. But when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, he meant Peter and Andrew. When Jesus called James and John, he meant James and John. Jesus knew who he was calling. He doesn't get the wrong person. When the Lord calls you, he wants you. And now is when he wants you, not later. And so the only faithful response to God calling us is Mary's response. Here I am, me, now. The servant of the Lord, let it be to me now according to your word. I'm willing. Okay. That Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man, showed in a comic way what can happen when we try to say yes to everyone who makes a request of us or a demand of us. But when so many voices in the world ask so many things of us, saying yes to them all is not funny. It is foolish and it is dangerous for us. But when the voice is the voice of God calling and calling us to do his will, then yes is the wisest and the safest answer we can make. The most secure place on earth is the center of God's will. And the only way to stand there is to answer yes when God calls us to do his will. Saying no puts us squarely outside the will of God, and that's not a good place to be at all. It can land you in the belly of a whale, like Jonah. It can land you in 3 days of blindness, like Saul, on his way to Damascus. Just ask anyone who has suffered the painful consequences of their own sin, the results of their own disobedience to God. Saying no to God is not smart or safe. After all, it's God who is the Most High, the Mighty One, with whom nothing is impossible. As the old song says, your arm's too short to box with God. Disobeying this God who is almighty and high is just not smart. It's not faithful either. And so even when God calls us to do something that's totally against our natural inclinations or our normal way of looking at things, whether it's something way outside the box that looks impossible or just something that's new or different that we've never done before, no matter what it is God's calling us to do, yes is the most sensible and faithful answer. Long ago, the angel Gabriel made this shocking announcement to Mary. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. In the entire history of the human race, no other conception would ever be like this one. No other woman would ever be favored by God like this one. Yet, we have the chance, the opportunity to be like this woman every time God calls us. We only have to drop our excuses, our resistance, our fear, and then act in faith. We only have to say with Mary, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And in case you're wondering, you don't get off the hook just because it's not the angel Gabriel knocking at your door. Because God's call can come in other ways. Your circumstances can be so evident and obvious that there can be a need right in front of your nose, and you know that's what God wants you to respond to. That's what God wants you to do, because the circumstances just are inescapable. And you understand that, because God is calling you through those circumstances. God's call can come and sound like the voice of Doug Whitmarsh or somebody else on the nominating committee saying, we have prayed together and we would like you to consider being this or that officer or person in the leadership of the church. Not just flipping a coin. They've prayed about this, and that could be God calling you to a role of service. God speaks to us through his word most often, and that's why we call it the word of God, because the scriptures speak to us when our heart is open and our desire is to do the will of God, and we come to the word of God. God speaks to us through that word and leads us through that word. The Bible is most often where God calls us if we will listen for God to call. We just need to not make the mistake of saying, I want to do something special with my life. God, I'll wait here till you tell me what it is. God's already told you a lot of what he wants all of us to do. To forgive, to care for the poor, to work for justice, to seek peace, to be his witnesses. That's for all of us. That's the known will of God for all of us. And there's more. So if we want to find that special will, that special call of God for us, then let's be about doing what we already know he wants us to do. Because then we're much more likely to be in that place where our earlier responses of obedience and faith are going to let us be the one God calls and chooses for that next step. Because God's call is always a sign of God's favor. God wants to bless you, not burden you. God's call is an invitation to see God do great things for you and great things through you in the world. God's call invites you to enter into that flow of God's grace and his purpose for the world. God's call is an opportunity for you to do something valuable and meaningful and important in the plan of God Almighty. God's call invites you to discover the very reason that God did not want his world without you in it. Because we're not here by accident. We are here because God wanted his world with us in it. Because he wants us to do some things that are his will to help move his purpose forward and announce his saving grace. So that's why God's call is always a sign that you're favored. God isn't picking on you. God is favoring you when he calls you. And that's why saying yes to God is always the faithful thing for us to do. Like Mary, we too can be favored and faithful if we just say yes when God calls. Because maybe this year, it's really God who's singing, "All I want for Christmas is you." Let's pray. Father, it is easy for us to look at our life and decide how we want it to go and all the things we want in it, what we'll do and what we won't do. And so your call to do something we weren't planning, weren't expecting, maybe didn't even want to do, that call can be frightening and challenging. Yet we would trust you as Mary did. Trust you to know all things when we know so little. Trust you to be loving us and favoring us when you call us to work with you, to do something good in the world, wherever it is, with whomever it is. It could be big, it could be small, but you call us. In the circumstances of life, in the people around us, in the words of Scripture itself, oh Lord, help us hear your voice. And when we hear you call, help us answer faithfully. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 281, "What Child Is This?" What Child Is This? I invite you to stand as you're able, and we close our worship together. Number 281.
Mary's on.
back, and we'll send those off this week so they get them for Christmas. Hope you can stay and enjoy some fellowship together with one another. Remember, there's our Christmas Eve service at 6:30. It's Thursday, right? Christmas is Friday. It's Christmas Eve at 6:30. Please come with your friends, family, and enjoy that wonderful time together. God makes it available to us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace enough to say yes whenever God calls.